This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
And for the first time, Anish Sharaf heads into a Panther season as the play-by-play voice of the Carolina Panthers. He joins us on the Adam Gold Show, and let's start here. Is it beautifully comfortable and breezy and just lovely to be around watching football outside in Spartanburg, South Carolina?
Well, I can tell you it's beautiful and comfortable and breezy right now because I'm in my car. I've got the AC turned up full crank. But, man, there is nothing to prepare you for that Spartanburg heat. Today was not as bad as the last couple of days. Yesterday was pretty rough. And I said, man, it's hot. I'm going to the bathroom every 20 minutes because of the amount of water I've consumed.
It was funny. We watched Baker Mayfield go out to the practice field on Wednesday and went, what the heck is wrong with him? And then the next day he comes and goes, yeah, that was a bad idea.
Bad idea.
Spartanburg is just, it just hits a little different, as the kids say. All right, Anish, nobody's going to win the job through 2 days, but what do you see from the two quarterbacks, and then we'll mess around with the rest of it?
Yeah, I think if you were going to say, does anybody have a leg up or has anybody looked better, Sam has probably looked a little bit better than Baker. He's made most of the throws. Baker's hit a couple of downfield. It's just that these first few days, you talk to every coach and they tell you the same thing. It's about getting guys just acclimated to practice, acclimated to training camp. When the pads go on Monday, we'll get a better sense of where these guys are. We'll get a better sense of all the position battles. But as of right now, I think Sam, and not really surprisingly, Sam probably has a bit of a leg up on Baker just because of the familiarity with the system of not being new, of having been here last year, having the spring with Ben McAdoo, a new offensive coordinator. So, yeah, just from my judgment, if I were to handicap it now, and I don't think it counts for anything, I want to make that clear. I don't think these 3 days really matter. But Sam probably has a little bit of a head start right now on Baker, and that shouldn't be a surprise.
Christian McCaffrey got a maintenance day, they're calling it. Look, whatever gets Christian McCaffrey to day one healthy is a good thing. I don't care how it happens. I don't care if he plays no snaps in the preseason or if he plays a full game. It doesn't matter as long as he's healthy when the season starts. I know there's a lot of optimism and there's so much expected of Christian, but this is your first up-close look at him. What have you seen?
Now, listen, he seems to be in good spirits. Even today, while he wasn't in uniform, he was hanging around his position group. He was talking to the guys. So him just being around fulfills that role that he has on this team as a leader, as somebody who guys look up to, as the face of the franchise. And in the 2 days that he did practice, he looked a lot like the Christian that we're used to seeing. So he did look healthy. And again, from briefly talking to him and seeing what he said, he's told everybody he's healthy. Wouldn't tell everybody what he did in the offseason and how he prepared and how he trained. But again, to your point, if we can get Christian to week one without any bumps and bruises, boy, that makes everything that comes after just so much more fun for this season.
I appreciate you diving in and saying we. That's okay, by the way. Anish Sharaf is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. So this is, having a team of your own is new to you. So how have you approached, the last few months? How have you immersed yourself in Panthers culture? Do you have a Serper tattoo? What's going on?
I did have a Serper tattoo for a while, but it was one of those that when you take a bath or take a shower, it comes off. So it was not permanent.
Smart. Very smart.
Really for me, the thing right now is just kind of creating relationships, getting to know coaches, getting to know players. And everybody's in and out with OTAs. You know, I had some other stuff going on with ESPN at the time. So it kind of works out. We're training camp. I'm here for 2 weeks. I'll do a little back and forth, but I'll be there every day. And for me, it's trying to get to know who these players are, who these coaches are, get to know them on a personal level. Because my job as a play-by-play guy is not just to bring the game to life, but it's to connect the personnel on the Panthers with our fans.
By the way, you mentioned your responsibilities with ESPN. Congratulations on getting a partner, Brock Osweiler, right? Will be working with you during the college football season?
Right. He will be sitting and I will be standing.
Is that in your contract?
No, but it needs to be. When they told me I was working with Brock, I said, you know, last year I had to work with Mike Golic Jr., who's about 6'3",
right,
6'4", and I needed a crate to stand on when we would tape our opens or we would do our opens when we would be on camera, just so the heights matched up and it didn't look like the Schwarzenegger DeVito poster from Twins. With Brock, I'm going to need two crates. He's 6'8". I'm 5'9". I mean, you know, he can kind of hold his hand up, and that meme where you see the person, like, reaching up to high five, I wouldn't even reach him for a high five.
Well, I'll say it this way. At least he won't make you eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with Duke's mayonnaise on it.
Yeah, but you got to flip it around. He doesn't know what we're going to make him do.
Ah, very good. You're hazing Brock Osweiler already. I've read enough about yesterday. Anish Shirov, new play-by-play man for the Carolina Panthers, is joining us here in the Adam Gold Show. I've read enough about the performance, I'll just say, from yesterday. What did you see from DJ Moore up close?
Mid-season form. He made some really tough catches. He made some great catches. He's got the best shoes, those yellow shoes. He's got the best kicks of anybody in training camp. DJ looked like DJ. He looked like an alpha number one wide receiver, and it didn't matter who was throwing the ball.
Yeah, I know he connected with Baker a lot yesterday, and I know he did well with Sam the day before. The Panthers have some playmakers. At the top of that list, obviously, Christian McCaffrey, but DJ Moore has to be right up there, right below McCaffrey if the Panthers are going to have a chance offensively. Has anybody stood out as another receiver? I know Robbie Anderson changed the spelling of his name. I don't know if that really matters, but has anybody else stood out as a pass receiver?
I wouldn't say there's one person so far that's really jumped out, but I can tell you just from conversation, a name and a player to keep your eyes on through camp is tight end Tommy Trimble. There's a lot of buzz surrounding what Tommy can do, and now his second season with the Panthers. He was a rookie last year, was sort of thrown into it after the trade of Dan Arnold, and he's getting a lot of reps as that top tight end. He's got some serious pass-catching skills. He's athletic. He's a guy who can be a mismatch problem. And, again, we know Ben McAdoo loves to use multiple tight end sets. Yeah. There's a lot of excitement on what Tommy Trimble can bring as a big-time pass-catching threat at tight end.
You know, your partner from last year, Mike Golic Jr., went to Notre Dame, and I'm sure he's known about Tommy Trimble. He was a blocker at Notre Dame. He was like the third tight end at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And it's funny because Ian Thomas, the draft pick out of Indiana, came to the Panthers as a pass catcher, and now he's the blocker, and the Panthers are looking at Tommy Trimble as this guy might be good. And I thought his rookie season was very good. They even handed him the ball off a couple of times last year.
Yeah, they did. And again, that speaks to Tommy as an athlete. You look at him and you say, yeah, this guy's got some moves. He's got some skill. He's going to be exciting to watch. And you're right about Ian. Ian had that great rookie season where he had, 30-some-odd catches. Has not been in that role really since, and he's been more of a blocker. How those two complement each other, especially in a lot of 12 personnel, two tight end schemes that you'll see from Ben McAdoo's offense, that's going to be a big part of the Panthers' success when they have the football.
Anish Shirov, any lacrosse? Dennis, do you want to ask Anish a lacrosse question before we let him go? Dennis, we place bets every day, fictitious bets because we don't have money. Dennis places a bet at least every day on one lacrosse game.
And there's only so many games to bet on, so not every day.
It seems like every day.
But yeah, Will Manny, MVP. Am I wrong?
Dennis, buddy, if you're betting lacrosse, man, we got some issues.
What?
Well, we don't have money. It's actually not real bets.
Okay. All right. I was going to say, if you're actually betting money, yeah, there's a problem. Will Manny's my guy. Will Manny's my dude. He's one of the great pro lacrosse players, and he's carved out a really nice career. I've gotten to know him. Will's a goal scorer. He's a good dude.
All right. Confirmation, Dennis, you're on the right track. Anish, stay out of the heat, man. We'll talk again very soon. Thank you so much.
Adam, pleasure as always. Thanks, bud.
You got it. Anish Shiroff, ESPN, but the play-by-play man for the Carolina Panthers. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. Are you willing to do that or that? Yellow means liquid money. You can get it any time. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you, your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. We are inside of 30 business days until the NFL season starts. We started previewing the league with Cleveland. We went to Philadelphia, then East Rutherford.
Yes.
And today, the Colts play in Indianapolis. Let's go to Indy.
All right. While you're in Indianapolis, now, let me preface this.
So just so people know.
Yeah.
We're not telling you anything about the football team.
No, we're not.
That's not what this is for. It's giving you an idea of why you should go to Indianapolis or East Rutherford or Philadelphia or Cleveland.
If you just happen to find yourselves in those towns or cities, here are things that you can do and maybe go enjoy.
Stopover, flight canceled. Now what do you do?
Yeah, you're stuck, whatever it might be.
Exactly.
So if you're in Indianapolis, there's some other sport-related things that you could do. For example, there's the NCAA Hall of Champions.
There is.
In Indianapolis.
There is. I have seen it.
You can go talk to Mark Emmert, maybe.
I don't believe he's there. He doesn't hang out at the Hall of Champions.
Yeah.
There's a Hall of Chumps.
Ah.
That's where you can find Mark Emmert.
See what
Thank you
did there.
Thank you.
But if you're also a sports fan, but also a movie person, Hinkle Fieldhouse.
Ah.
Campus of Butler University. Nice. Where? Hoosiers was filmed.
Nice little neighborhood. Went to a game there when I was there to cover. It was either a Super Bowl or a Final Four. I've been to Indianapolis to cover both. And it is an absolutely awesome. It's not that small, not as small as you might think.
Yeah.
But it is an awesome, awesome venue to watch basketball. We saw Butler take on, I believe it was Detroit Mercy.
Okay.
And it was a conference game when Butler, this is before the Big East, but it was absolutely awesome to be there. It was a tremendous, tremendous opportunity.
Also, just real quick, we have a couple people that work in this building, that work on one of our music stations located here where we are in Raleigh at our home base, 99.9 The Fan, Mix 101.5, their morning show, Mix Mornings. Kyle and Brian, I spoke with them. They're from Indianapolis.
Right.
So I spoke with them. They gave me a lot of insight.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yes, they did. For example, like St. Elmo's Steakhouse is talked about often. Jim Nance mentions it. The shrimp cocktail sauce is often mentioned and highly recommended for a lot of
people. The steaks are great, but I don't know that I'd ever get a steak there again. Just give me three orders of the shrimp cocktail and extra cocktail sauce if you have, let's just say you're a little stuffy.
Yeah.
Order the shrimp cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
Automatic. Wow. That'll open you up.
Okay.
It's better than, you know, like some like athletes use smelling salts before a game. Way better than that.
Okay.
That'll get you going. So delicious.
Who needs breathe right strips when you have
that? Oh, my gosh. So delicious.
Brian was actually telling me that there's a, I guess, rumor or legend at St. Elmo's Steakhouse that in the basement.
Okay.
That Peyton Manning actually has his own spot down there that after wins and home games, he would go to the St. Elmo's Steakhouse, have a room down in the basement where he would have a steak served to him and watch film. Dead serious. That is the rumor.
It's not a room for like Manning's going to bring the family out and we're going to dinner. It's a room so he can eat and watch tape.
Yep. So he can have St. Elmo's cooked for him. Have a steak or whatever, maybe the shrimp cocktail sauce, whatever it is.
Right.
Probably have like a bourbon or whatever it might be, and a watch film after a game.
Kyler Murray does not have that in Phoenix.
No.
In Glendale.
He does not.
That is awesome. I did not know that. I didn't know there was a downstairs at St. Elmo's.
Well, Blonde Peyton. I think he's actually a part owner.
Is it really?
I think.
Oh, man. Good for him. It is a very cool, it's an old school looking restaurant. Got like a storefront. It almost looks like a store, right?
Okay.
It's got a storefront window, and then there's the bar area, and then the restaurant. You have to walk kind of like around and then back. It's not a very big place. Not a very big place at all. But it's a tremendous restaurant. But just my little tip, because again, Final Fours and Super Bowls. I've been to Elmo's 3 times.
Okay.
Go in like an afternoon. So we would go, I would go national semifinals afternoon. Games at like local time, like 5:30. Go at like 2:30. Just sit at the bar, get some shrimp cocktail, and go. Or maybe a little bit later, maybe 3:30.
Okay.
Right? Couple of orders of the shrimp cocktail, boom, to the game. Don't need anything else. For the Super Bowl, did the same thing.
All right.
Go in the afternoon. Don't have to worry about dinner rush.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about not getting a table. Sit at the bar. Done.
All right. Good to know.
Yes.
Good to know. Also, while you're there, I'm sure you heard of maybe the famous American gangster back during the time of the Depression, John Dillinger.
Yes, absolutely.
Apparently, the Slippery Noodle was one of his favorite places in Indianapolis.
I've not been to the Slippery Noodle.
Yeah, apparently the Slippery Noodle is one of his favorite spots.
Very nice.
By the way, he was born on June 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
My birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you and John Dillinger, public enemy number 3.
I've outlived him. He barely got past age 31.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they barely died young those days. Because the law was always after him.
Yes, the law was always after him. Also, make sure you head there during the month of May because that's when the Indianapolis 500 is, and it gets, for lack of a better term, revved up.
It does.
In the city of Indy.
You know there are 2 races this weekend?
I did not know that.
On the road course, there are 2 races at Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Okay.
The, I think, IndyCar Series is tomorrow, and then NASCAR, I believe, is Sunday.
Okay.
I believe they're both racing this weekend.
All right.
I could be wrong. What is today's date? Today is the 20th. Yeah. I think the 30th and 31st. If the schedules are the same. I originally thought one was on the road course and one was on the oval. So I'm not sure how that works. But, everybody's there. There's a lot of racing at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Did you also know, and I don't know if it still exists. I think it does. But, you know, there is a golf course inside Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
I did not know that.
And the Champions Tour used to play there's only 3 holes inside the track.
Okay.
But there are 3 holes inside the track and the rest of it is outside the track. And the Champions Tour used to play an event there. Just cool.
Okay. I was like, are you teeing off from pit row? Like, how does this work?
I've not played it. But apparently there is a golf course, and they used that golf course for a Champions Tour event. back in the day.
I hope the you tee off from Victory Lane. Seriously, that'd be awesome. But also, make sure when you're there, you have to drink out of a glass jar. For milk out of a glass jar.
Oh, yes.
Quart size. You have to drink out of a glass jar while you're there.
There's no way that milk would be cold enough for me to drink.
Would be for me.
I need milk ice cold.
I'm sure there's a cooler.
Borderline, like, frozen.
Okay.
I need it. I can't.
I'm with you. All right, last but not least, make sure you check out Long's Bakery. There's actually two locations now.
Oh, okay.
In Indianapolis. Long's Bakery, cash only, Adam.
I like that.
Cash only.
That's good old school stuff.
Bakery. Get your donuts, get some different pastries while you're there. It's so popular, they don't even have a website.
Really?
Yeah, it's like one of those places, like you just know it.
Okay.
Don't have a website. I think they have like an Instagram account or something like that.
I'm sure they do. Remember the deli that we told everybody about yesterday?
Yes.
Is it Uncle Tony's Deli?
Mm-hmm.
They also do not have a website.
Nice.
They're on Instagram.
Yeah.
What?
That's all you need. Yeah, you can get your photos out there.
Okay.
Take
a picture of the menu.
Yeah, it's all you need. I just want to know how I can actually get some of these items.
From Long's Bakery?
Yeah.
What do they have? Tell me.
Cakes, pies, rolls, cookies, bread, donuts. It's all of it.
But do they have a specialty?
I don't know.
They
don't have a website, Adam. How can I tell?
I want to go back to Frangelli's in Philly.
Yeah.
I want to get the cannoli.
There you go.
I want the cannoli from Frangelli's. That's it. That's what I want.
All right. So, yeah, Jack Frost Donuts, Frangelli's Bakery, Jack Frost being in Cleveland, Frangelli's in Philly, Top That Donuts in East Rutherford, and Long's Bakery in Indy.
Giving you the place to get donuts.
Yep, place to get donuts in
each
every one of these cities.
NFL city. Do we know what we're doing Monday?
Monday we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, that's so right. We're going to Tampa.
Yes, but I'm going to go ahead and give you a tease for Tuesday. How about this?
All right.
I got to pull one out of the Dunkin's cup here. Make use out of this Dunkin' Donuts coffee cup for once.
Hey, you don't drink coffee, so.
Exactly.
No need.
Jacksonville, Jaguars.
Oh, we're staying in the state
staying
of Florida.
In Florida next week.
By the way, I can tell you right now, in Jacksonville, there's nothing. There's a Hooters.
You can watch a concert at Daly's place. There's a tease for you.
Okay, there you go. That's fine. We'll do that.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Now let's get into a rewind. That was educational. Earlier today, Dennis put out a poll question. Who is more likely to win their division between North Carolina in the Coastal, NC State in the Atlantic? We'll give you our answers in a minute, but we asked that of Luke DeCock of the News and Observer, who joins us every Friday. Here's his answer.
I enjoyed my conversation with Dave Clawson in Charlotte, where this is before this was announced. He was just looking through preseason mags. I had Phil Steele prominently on the table and complaining that Sam Hartman had gone from being second team all ACC at the end of last season to third or fourth team in a lot of these preseason rankings or ratings. And was in classic Dave Clawson fashion. You know, what did he get worse?
That's Clawson right there.
Yeah, were people spying on our spring game? Did he have a bad practice that I missed? So it was. I get that. However, I think when you look at Devin Leary, the difference between State and Wake is not that anyone ever expects Wake to win anything, and everyone is always wrong.
Right.
But State is really expected by a lot of people, not everybody, obviously, but to win or at least compete to win the Atlantic. I think people feel like Wake may be a step behind where it usually is, just based on. I think Wake returns 16 starters. For any other team, that's great. For Wake, that's borderline catastrophic, the way that they move, move players through. So I don't have a problem with it at all. I don't. I voted for Josh Downs. I think he's the most explosive playmaker in the ACC. At the risk of coming off as a UNC homer, which will amuse a lot of people who have lived through the scandal here, I picked UNC to win the Coastal. I picked Josh Downs as player of the year.
Okay. All of that from Luke Tkach of the News and Observer. Both teams could end up being really good. Here's the thing about North Carolina. We have no idea who their quarterback's going to be. We have no idea. Could be May.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But we'll see. We'll maybe North Carolina will be better without the big target on their back.
Maybe.
I don't necessarily subscribe to those theories that you're better when people don't expect you, right? It just changes your mindset. Maybe it gets you hungrier. I don't know. And I'm also not comfortable saying that UNC didn't handle the expectations well, because the expectations are placed on teams based on how we think about them, not reality. Not reality. We don't know the true talent level. We didn't know the true talent level that North Carolina is going to put on the field. We just saw, wow, they returned so many pieces. They returned Sam Howell. They'll be great. In the case of NC State, we are in many ways just guessing. I mean, I guess it's possible that they won't be all that great. But they do return a lot. It's all, to me, it's entirely about their offensive line. 100%. North Carolina's offensive line wasn't that good last year. I think it's arguably more important than the two running backs and two wide receivers they lost. Not that it's easy to replace Carter and Williams and, what, De'Ami Brown and Daz Newsome. Those are the four stars that they lost before last year. But you should, your program should regenerate wide receivers and running backs on a year-in, year-out basis. Hmm. In college, very few teams should hit the season like, we don't have any good running backs. We don't have any good wide receivers. If you're a good program, that's not an issue.
Yeah.
You should always have enough of them unless you have been besieged by injuries. North Carolina was not besieged by injuries last year. But we'll see. I think both teams will have a chance to be really good. And that's important. All right, let's get to this is actually new stuff. So it's hard to call it a rewind. But I referred to Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliavkov earlier in the program, reading in The Athletic that he thinks the Pac-12 is solidly positioned for the future. And bless your heart, George, because it isn't. But here's Kliavkov on essentially the expansion mindset and how it might impact him.
I've been spending 4 weeks trying to defend against grenades that have been lobbed in from every corner of the Big 12, trying to destabilize our remaining conference. And I understand why they're doing it. When you look at the relative media value between the two conferences, I get it. I get why they're scared. I get why they're trying to destabilize us. But I was just tired of that. Yeah, that's probably not the most collegial thing I've ever said.
Remember when I asked Jim Phillips, Do you trust these people? Remember, I asked him about trust. How can there be trust among the five Power Five commissioners when Bob Bowlsby, who then ran the Big 12, and Greg Sankey are in a meeting together, and while Texas and Oklahoma are leaving the Big 12 to go to the SEC? How can you possibly have a relationship with these people when they are actively scheming to damage you in a different boardroom? I mean, Phillip just said basically it's business, but I thought it was about relationships.
Yeah.
So I wasn't saying could you do business with these people. I was simply saying, can you trust them? And the answer, I don't care what they say, the answer is no. You can't. You cannot trust them, and you shouldn't trust them, which is why the alliance never had a chance, because nobody is to be trusted. Kliavkov talked about the Pac-12, whose media rights deal is up.
We have initiated our media rights negotiations. We are in the enviable position of being next to market after the Big Ten. We already have significant interest from potential partners, including both incumbents and new traditional television, and most importantly, digital media partners. This interest is driven by the strength of our school's brands and markets, and a recognition of our continued leadership position in college football across the Western and Mountain time zones. With the value of premium college sports rights continuing to rise, multiple interested media partners, and limited opportunities, particularly in the West, we are confident in the long-term value of our rights.
All right, again, all I could say is bless your heart, George. I hope you're right. I don't want the Pac-12 to go away. He did take a shot, by the way, at the Big 12 in the first clip, where I understand why the Big 12 wants us gone, because essentially he was insinuating that they are in a better position financially than the Big 12 is. I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I don't think either is in great position financially. The Big 12 can't replace Texas. There's just no way to replace that behemoth. Like, I actually think the Big Ten would have an easier time replacing Ohio State than the Big 12 will have replacing Texas. I absolutely believe that. That's not that Ohio State isn't enormous. It's just that the Big Ten has other huge popular universities. After Texas and Oklahoma, what is there in the Big 12? So the advantage the Pac-12 has is the only game in town. Right? What else is there out there? Mm-hmm. The Big 12, you compete in the central time zone, right? Pretty much all of it is in the central time zone. You compete with the Big 10, the SEC, and the ACC, as well as the Pac-12, by the way. But you really are competing with Eastern and Central Time Zone. So that's a four-way split. In the Pac-12, ain't nobody else out there. So I can see why the Pac-12 feels a little bit better, unless the Big 12 takes the Arizona schools.
Yeah.
And Colorado and Utah, which sort of been rumored. Sounded to me like Kliavkov was sort of heading that off. Like, that ain't going to happen. It's very possible. But that has been a rumor. And it makes sense if you are Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, to attach yourself to a league that has a lot more teams. I mean, the Pac-12 right now is going to be 10 unless they replace USC and UCLA with lesser schools from California. So I don't know how it's all going to shake out, but if you were Arizona and Arizona State and you can attach yourself to the Big 12, you might do it. And same thing with Utah and Colorado. And then that would leave the Pac-12 with six teams. And they would be Cal, Stanford, the two schools in Oregon, the two schools in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a conference. That's a division
in
a conference. But that is not a conference. Actually, you can't even be a conference in football with six teams.
Yeah.
I think you need at least eight to be a conference. Anyway, I don't envy either conference's position. The ACC goes, man, you guys are in a tough spot.
You tell me that. Yeah, exactly. You're telling me that the Pac-12 doesn't want to add Fresno State and Boise State?
It would be San Diego and Boise, but man, nobody wants to add Boise State. Speaking of
playing that big blue turf.
Right. Oh, gosh, I hate that. It hurts to watch games on it. By the way, I don't like the Coastal Carolina field either. I don't like your teal field. I don't like Eastern Washington's red field.
Red.
Have you seen that?
Gross.
That is awful. That makes your eyes bleed. The Kliavkov said earlier today also that UCLA will have a tough time in the Big Ten. And he wasn't talking about on the field. He was talking about, like, I don't know, at the bank. And I'm like, no, they won't. it doesn't matter if UCLA is going to be bad. They're going to get paid. Maryland gets paid. They're no good, but they're going to get paid. And UCLA is going to get paid. By the way, the Pac-12 preseason predictions, Utah 1, Oregon 2, USC 3, UCLA 4. So congratulations to the Big Ten for grabbing the third and fourth best teams out of the Pac-12.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.